Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky. No Andy today, he's on vacation, but I got a great guest for you, Cyrus Satsas, the host of Locked On Warriors. He'll be giving us a great scouting report on Juan Toscano-Anderson, just how much can Lakers fans expect from him this year? Plus, how big is that gap between the Lakers and the Warriors, and just how long are the Warriors going to be this good? All next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers, or perhaps Locked On Warriors, your first show of every day. A Locked On podcast, Cyrus, that's the most important thing. Preferably ours. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's fine if you make Locked On Warriors your second listen of every day, but I really think people should be making ours their first. That's just my preference, because I don't know for sure. I can't guarantee they're going to get to a second one. I can't.
Well, let's do this. Your franchise, the Lakers, have the most titles ever. So I will bow down to you, sir. You sounds good.
All right, we're off to a good start. there is so much I want to get in, but I have to start here because we have done a lot talking about the Lakers and free agency, and it hasn't been very much fun because we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here with minimum contracts, and then they signed Lonnie Walker. It's not, people aren't terribly optimistic about. But the guy who really sticks out that people are excited about, one of them at least, is Juan Toscano-Anderson. And I know he is like a cult hero in the Bay. And what I want to know is sort of how did he get here? Like, beyond the fact that he is widely considered just to be an outstanding human, from a basketball standpoint, what was he doing with the Warriors that made him valuable, that gave him playing time, that kind of got him up out of nowhere, and that made him such a positive contributor? Can you that background scouting report on JTA?
That's a great question, because he did kind of come out of nowhere. He was playing like in Mexican pro leagues, and I think he is like half Mexican, I believe, too. So so he's very prideful of that. And I think when he played in Mexico, that just added to it. He's talked glowingly and warmly about, if that's a word, about his experience playing down there. I don't know the genesis of his Warriors origins exactly, except to say that in 2020, he started playing for the G League team, and the 2020 version of the Golden State Warriors was a total throw in the towel, mail it in year, for the simple reason that after five straight NBA Finals runs, they were exhausted. They were losing Kevin Durant, and to salvage that loss, they had to bring in an asset, being D'Angelo Russell. And by doing so, they did a sign and trade. And for the people that aren't aware of this, sign and trades can cripple you when it comes to the salary cap, because the moment you conduct a sign and trade, you fall under the hard cap, which means that you cannot, under any circumstances, go above the limit. There's like a very small threshold, and then that's it. So the Warriors in 2020 were a wash, and they were playing a lot of individuals that were filler pieces, like Glenn Robinson III, I think Alec Burks, who's actually still playing, funny enough. But he was, and Juan Toscano-Anderson was one of those guys. That what made Juan Toscano-Anderson valuable, and the reason why he stuck around and at times played a lot of important minutes last year for a world championship team, is that he is very versatile. Like, he can play almost any position. I wouldn't play him at the point, but he could. I mean, he could bring the ball up. He's a great passer. He's a solid rebounder. He can hit the three. But most importantly, I think, is the fact that he's just a great chemistry guy. Like, he's not going to come in there and disrupt things going on in the locker room.
He talked a lot about that in his introductory press conference. It's like a culture guy.
Absolutely. So especially like, I don't know if the Lakers, from my perception, yours would be much more astute than mine, but I feel like the Lakers were a little amiss last year. And so I think JTA is what the Warriors fans
that idea. Why? What would make anybody think that? Come on now, Cyrus.
But JTA will be a calming presence, and will be a potential glue to bring everyone on the same page under Coach Ham. So again, JTA, look, a year ago I was on a podcast where I was asked about Kent Bazemore because you folks signed him from the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, do not expect a damn thing from him. He's not by any means a great player. He was on a garbage Warriors team. Those minutes were not valuable in any regard. I would actually be more excited about JTA than I would be about Kent Bazemore a year ago. So I'll put it at that.
That's good, because we were actually kind of very optimistic, as it turned out, wrongly, about Bazemore. And in fairness to us, they did sign him to play an important role. He was slotted. He made the most sense as a starter. It didn't go well, to say the least, with Baze. The part that I think is kind of fascinating about JTA is, like, you look at his impact, his numbers, like cleaning the glass and all that stuff, they were phenomenal in that mess of a 2020 season, 2021 that you're talking about. Last year, on the way to the title, he played, you know, he had a smaller role, and the numbers, like the on-off metrics, weren't as good. The Lakers have been allergic to signing genuine wings, like actual people whose, like, job it is to play forward. He is that guy. There's an opening for him to play absolutely 25 minutes or so on this team. Is all the stuff that he did well, though, kind of a function of that Golden State culture, that Golden State style? Or do you think he really can adapt to whatever the hell it is the Lakers plan on doing this year?
I think, first of all, if you're planning on playing JTA 25 minutes, your team is in huge trouble.
That is a separate podcast, but I do have, I do think that is a possibility.
JTA is not, like, first, I would not, JTA is very, he's Draymond Green light, meaning, like, he's not a guy that you need to look at the stats to understand his meaning. He's Mr. Intangibles. He's, you know, Mr. Hustle. But if you're counting on him for more than 15 minutes, then you don't have championship aspirations. He was someone who, if a player was injured, he'd fill in. He would play weird minutes at times, but a total morale booster. Like he was never a detriment on the court. Like Kent Bazemore was a detriment. Like Kent Bazemore, to me, I don't think anyone signed him still. And there's a reason for that. JTA will give you valuable minutes. He's not going to cost you games, but you cannot rely on him to actually help you win games. Like he's someone who will give you clutch rebounds. He's someone who might hit big threes at times. He's someone who can find the right person passing the ball. But he's not going to be the guy who's the catalyst for success. Like he's a role player. He's a role player in every sense of the word. If that helps.
It does. What is the best way to use him then? You know, the 3-point shooting is, you know, for the Lakers is, you know, it's not great, but you know, he'll fit right in that regard. But he's at times been a competent 3-point shooter. Yeah. Like, where would they be best to try to take advantage of those, you know, 15 to 20, 18 minutes, whatever it is? What allows them to do that? I mean, can he play around LeBron? Do you think he'd play well around AD? Yes. Hopefully not. Yes. Westbrook, but we'll see.
I think even Westbrook, I think the beauty of JTA is he can play with anyone. And that's, I think, a huge reason why the Lakers signed him, is because it doesn't matter what the lineup is out there. He's not necessarily a negative. It's just, he's not going to be someone lighting up the scoreboard. I would envision him as a small ball five, weirdly enough, in today's game where you know, you don't need size. Like, I guess I don't know who the Lakers starting center is. Like, who's taking that? Is the AD finally going to?
In theory, if Davis doesn't start there, and I do not think he will, the Lakers, actually, one of the places I thought they were relatively productive in free agency was at center. They signed Damian Jones, who played well for them in shot 80% in nine games or whatever.
Former Warrior,
yes. A couple of years ago, right. Yeah. Former a lot of things. But, you know, kind of fills a good role as a you know, weak side shot blocker and a vertical threat and all that stuff they were missing last year. And then they went and brought back Thomas Bryant, who, until his ACL injury in Washington, had really looked like a guy ascending. So I think Bryant is going to start with Damian Jones backing up. But AD is going to play a lot of five. They'll probably put LeBron out there sometimes at the five. And then there'll be other moments where they would want a small ball five. And it is interesting to see the idea that JTA could do that.
And here's what JTA does for you too. He's a solid defender. Like he's not a shutdown defender, But he's someone that I think Darvin Ham, I've heard constantly, and all the attributions I read and hear from him, he's clearly defensive minded. That's going to be a strong focus for the for a Lakers team that relied on that to win the championship a couple years ago. They totally lost that ethos last year. And so JTA, because that's the part about the Warriors that people sleep on, is that while they have these star players like Stephen Curry, like Klay Thompson, who light it up offensively, and people just, you know, see the Warriors as a three-point machine who can blow you away with points, but their defense is sound, man. They were the number one defense last year before Draymond Green got hurt. You saw their defense against the Celtics and everyone else in the postseason. And JTA bought is someone who buys into that. Like, he hustles, he's aggressive. He understands that a great defensive team starts with the team aspect of it and not the individual aspect of it, meaning he does switches effectively. He knows when to respond if a defender gets burned to back them up. So he's a bright mind, man. Like, he's not going to make dumb mistakes on the court, which is a huge thing, because most players, as I'm sure you know, are actually not very smart on the court, and they routinely make foolish decisions. You're not going to get that from JTA. But again, he's also not a star. Like, he's a role player. So maybe you can get 20 minutes out of him, but I still think night and day in terms of improvement over what you got a year ago with what's his name? Kent Bazemore. So
Kent Bazemore?
Yeah, it's
God, yeah. Well, low bar to clear, but sure.
True.
I think that, you know, understanding what is limited. One of the great things about the Warriors and what they've done so well is making sure, like, they squeeze a lot out of role guys by never asking them to do more than it is that they need to do. You know, I think
correct.
Gary Payton, for example, I think is going to be successful in Portland because it's a similar type of role that I think he's going to be asked to play. But it will be interesting when you sign a guy for a decent amount of money. Sometimes there is that temptation to be like, we got to make him a 26-minute a night guy or 32 minutes. He's got to play 30 minutes a night. You can't do that. You don't want to take a guy and that is a positive contributor for 18 minutes and ruin that by adding seven to it. So it'll be interesting correct. To see what the Lakers can do and whether or not they can fill a rotation out around them. You have some stuff you want to throw at me from a Warriors perspective that I am very interested in. You had some listeners that threw you some questions. Very optimistic. We got to talk about Built chances.
We got to show some love to Built Bars because I'm trying to lose weight. And Brian, I don't know about you. You look fit. I was fit until a few months ago, and then I got a little chub going. But Built Bars are the way to go for that. Just because, I mean, on average, what, they got 17 grams of protein. You were talking about the new flavor that they're hyping up, the cookie dough chunk puffs. Tell me about that. I tried one. I loved it. But you love these things. You really
love these things, right? First of all, it's a dark chocolate. Yeah, I do, actually. It's a darker chocolate than a lot of the other Built Bars. And they actually have, like, the chunks of cookie dough. It's like, you know, when you eat the cookie dough ice cream and there's the cookie, like the pieces of it that come out, it's got that. Like, if I could scrape them all off, I could probably make a decent cookie out of it. I'm not going to. But yeah, I mean, it is actually quite delicious. And I'm always very pleased. This is one of my favorite sponsorships because, unlike the folks at, you know, Rock Auto, for example, I've never gotten a fuel pump just on the doorstep. But, you know, Built Bar, I get the stuff and I get to eat it and taste it. And the cookie dough chunk puffs are delicious.
They are. And you're right, man. This isn't hyperbole. Like, there actually is chunks of cookie dough within the bar. You're right, man. I was picking it out. It tastes delicious. Some of these Built Bars, you feel like you're cheating. Like the birthday cake one, I'm still blown away that's relatively healthy. I
eat some as a snack. He's also yoked.
Yeah. So, and again, folks, all you got to do, just go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCK15 for 15% off of all that delicious protein, real chocolate, low sugar at built.com. And we're back at it, I think.
Yes. All right. So
I have questions for you. Well, I wanted Twitter. Yeah. Some people came to me and they wanted me to ask you a few questions. And I think one of the biggest questions around the NBA landscape pertaining to the Lakers is the fact that the Brooklyn Nets are holding the whole world up with Kevin Durant's trade request, the Kyrie Irving drama. And the sense I'm getting, and you could obviously clarify this, is that the Lakers fan base would love Kyrie Irving to come to the Lakers in exchange for Russell Westbrook. Is that going to happen? I haven't heard anything in weeks now. Some people are saying the discussions are dead. What's the latest?
All right. So the answer to that question is based in part on a question I'm going to ask you here in a second. But the short answer to your first part is the Lakers would like anybody who isn't Russell Westbrook to be on the team. If they could upgrade to Kyrie Irving, they absolutely would do that, even knowing all the stuff waves arms wildly that Kyrie brings. But he's not Russell Westbrook. Like, that's the biggest thing. It's like, I think the feeling is, and I get it, and I think it's not wrong, that the Lakers, this group of Lakers, with the shooting that they have, meaning none of it, like, LeBron is the best three-point shooter on this team. And he's really improved in that way. He really is. Like, in any kind of volume, yes. Technically speaking, Thomas Bryant has had some three-point seasons that are better. Maybe I'm forgetting something somewhere, but like,
well, what about Kendrick Nunn if he actually plays? I mean, that was a travesty.
Right, Kendrick. I always forget about it. I literally like.
In and a what broadcast, about Austin Reed?
Reeves is a low 30s guy. The perception I think because he's scrappy and white is that he's a good three-point shooter, but he's not actually been one. And so the hope is he can develop. There's no shooting on this team. And so independent even of like Westbrook's problems, if they can't find floor spacers, that's why the Buddy Hield trade is interesting. Because he's a, you know, a 39%-ish guy who at his best has been in the mid-40s. And even Miles Turner at 33, 34, 35% would still be on this team somebody who could create a little bit of space. And he's certainly preferable to Anthony Davis shooting threes, who was awful last year, and the concept of AD as a three-point shooter has always been better than the actual. So short answer is yes, people would love Kyrie as an upgrade for Westbrook. He's a better fit. He's a legit 40% three-point shooter, and you know, it's just a better player than Westbrook is at this point in his career. But they would take almost anyone, to be honest with you.
Well, but my understanding is, and correct me if the rumors are true or not, that the Nets would make that trade if the Lakers would give up that 2027 pick.
I think it's
for 2029
and the 29. I think the Nets want both the picks and probably for the Lakers to take back a guy like Joe Harris, who makes I think $18 or $19 million next year. The funny thing about that is the Lakers are resistant to taking in any additional salary and all that other stuff. I think they should, if they're going to give up both picks, they should be asking for as many players from the Nets as they'd be willing to give up. Joe Harris, Seth Curry, like anybody who isn't part of your rebuild now will take them. We want all of them because I don't know if you've looked at the Lakers. Kendrick Nunn is probably their fourth best player. Like,
yes,
maybe
that's fair.
Like that's not, and I like Kendrick and I'm very optimistic that he can help. That is not a good team. If Kendrick Nunn is your fourth best player or Austin Reeves is your fifth best player, or Talen Horton, I don't know. Like that's not a good team. They need, if you're going to do this, I think they need as many players as they can possibly get. But all of this is dependent on the Nets trading Kevin Durant. And one of those things that people keep, is there really a chance that the Warriors would actually try? Is that a real thing? Because anything that gets them to trade him is good for the Lakers so they can then move on and potentially try to get Kyrie.
It was a real thing at the beginning, and I think as you and most people know, Sean Marks is out of his goddamn mind. He honestly thinks Kevin Durant is worth Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and 4 first-round picks. That's what he asked for, reportedly, from the Timberwolves, and all Sean Marks has done is scare everyone away. I don't know if his intention is to try to convince Durant to stay. I don't know if Marks is that delusional, he scared the Warriors away. The Warriors, I think realistically, would make that trade if it was something more reasonable, like a Wiggins, Poole, even a Wiseman, maybe a couple first-round picks. But all the reports indicated that the Nets also wanted Kuminga and or Moody, and they're untouchables, especially for Durant, who turns 34 next year. So, dude, this Sean Marks is driving me crazy, man. I've never liked GMs in the game who think they're smarter than they really are. Like Dork Elvis is another example of that. They're never, you, I've, if I'm a GM, I'll put it this way. If I'm a GM, I would never make a deal with either of those two individuals just because I know with certainty they are not going to compromise and make a fair deal with me. They're going to try to rip me off. And so it's like, forget it. I'm moving on from that. So that's what's going on. It was a reality at one moment because Lacob loves Durant and would love, really would love to bring him back and have him retire as Warrior. But for that asking price, it scared him away. And talks are dead. And now we're talking about the Celtics maybe. But and I wouldn't do that trade if I was the Celtics. I don't. Jaylen Brown, to me, has more value than Kevin Durant, given they have a nine-year gap or eight-year gap. So in age, I don't know. So that's
what's going I would. Jaylen Brown, the one that the, it's interesting. But what makes this interesting, I think, for the Lakers and Lakers fans is like there is this sort of assumption that if Kyrie, if Durant is traded, it automatically means the Warriors are going to rebuild and now Kyrie is on the market and they'll give him up for the. But if they trade Durant for Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and, you know, whatever stuff else comes along with it, it leaves Brooklyn a little guard heavy, but you can plug in a team with Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Ben Simmons. I'd be willing to roll with that and see what that looks like over the course. I mean, it's an unusual roster, but I would certainly, that's not a rebuild. That's not something where you immediately say, okay, now we got to get rid of Kyrie Irving for whatever we can get. Right. You might want to do that anyway, because again, waves arms wildly, Kyrie Irving. But I think the path to Kyrie for the Lakers is a little bit more narrow than some people assume, because that just the assumption is as soon as Durant is traded, the Nets go into this full rebuild. And I just don't think that's true. But is Kuminga just like what? Is there a player in the league that they would trade Kuminga for? They seem to love that guy.
They do. They do. I've always said on Locked On Warriors that Kuminga's potential is so high. Like, I mean, there is no limit. He could. I know this sounds crazy, and I could be wrong. I'm not saying this is the case, but he could reach like Hall of Fame type stuff someday because the potential is insane. This is a kid who at 19 has figured it out. Now it's just a matter of experience. I've always said the only two people I would trade Kuminga for are Giannis and Luka, and that's it. I would not trade him for
Russell Westbrook. What about Russell Westbrook? He's available. Do you want Russell Westbrook?
I got to ask this, man. Why did the Lakers make that trade a year ago for Russell
Westbrook? Okay. I'll tell you the answer to that question next. So we were, Cyrus, we were talking about this before we started taping. I was, you know, we have access to the motherboard or whatever you call it, you know, for our hosting platform. We could see like a year ago, what did the shows do a year ago, whatever. And we've had a good summer. We appreciate the support from our Locked On Lakers audience, and some interesting things have been going on with Darvin Ham. But I'm looking, and like all of a sudden, like our numbers for last week were like dwarfed by what happened a year ago. I'm like, what the hell happened on July, whatever it was? It was the day of the Westbrook trade. And what's funny, you asked me the question before the break, why did they do that? Our second high, the day of the Westbrook trade, when we did this show and whatever, was our highest rated show of the year. Our second highest rated show of the year was the one from 3 days earlier, when the rumors started to percolate that the Lakers might do this. And we did a show talking about how stupid of an idea this is and how it can't possibly be true because it's just too dumb. That was our second highest rated show of the year. So, you mentioned guys who are smarter, think they're smarter than they are. I think there's certainly a lot of people in LA who put Rob Pelinka in that category. But I think it happened for two reasons. I think it's because first, LeBron and AD had sat down with Russ and they were sold on this. They all convinced each other that this was going to be a good idea. But ultimately, it's because the Lakers, who had a Buddy Hield trade ready to go, which would have made much more sense. And I don't know what it would have done to them last year, but it would have made more sense.
Yes.
The Lakers are star effers, and they believe that the power of stars will push you over the top in any circumstance. I think they wildly underestimated what it would mean to lose the sort of the middle class of their roster in Alex Caruso, and who wasn't traded there, but was lost because of the finances.
Yes.
Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
And pause 1 second, just to interrupt you real quick. My fear is that Gary Payton II, losing him, could have reverberations similar to the Lakers with Caruso, just because it was a money decision. And these are both, I mean, Caruso was a fantastic defender and just a great team guy. You saw what happened when you lost him. That was huge.
It was, but at least you guys still have good players. Like, you still have a bunch of really good players. And I think if DiVincenzo is healthy, that's a nice player. Like, it's not even, I would have loved to see him keep GP. I think, you know, he's just, I mean, it's a great story. He's a good guy and all that. But like, even for your ownership group, at some point, it's like, can we turn an $8 million guy into a $60 million guy? It's like, at some point you have to be like, all right, we're done. Like $497 million is enough for a basketball team. Like, we're done. But I mean, that is the reason they did it. Fundamentally, they believe that stars rule everything. And what do you think the Warriors window is? Because so much of what the Lakers do is obviously geared toward a championship, and I think they're in a really bad spot. A lot of people seem to agree with me. Maybe other people looked at, but like, the gap they have to close to the rest of the Western Conference is massive. Starting with Golden State, you talk about Kuminga, you talk about Moody. How many years do you think this team can be championship caliber?
I mean, 10 to 15. It just because what they did this offseason basically is they swapped, and I've started to be a broken record for regular Warriors fans and Locked On Warriors fans, but they basically swapped Nemanja Bjelica, who was very underrated for that team last year. I'm still shocked he went to Europe, but he did it to be closer to his family. They lost Gary Payne II, obviously, and they lost Otto Porter Jr. These were three vitally important pieces for a world championship team. Then they swapped him with James Wiseman, who they did have, but he didn't play a minute last year. And now he's expected to come in and play probably 25 minutes a night. They got a Jamichael Green, who I love. I mean, that came out of nowhere and gave me a lot of relief. And then Dante DiVincenzo. So to me, they're the favorites this year again. And then if the young players develop, Moody is NBA ready. Yeah, Moses Moody, I think, is the main reason why they let Gary Payne II go. They want to see him play heavy minutes. It could be 10 to 15 years. I mean, because Kuminga, Moody, I mean, Stephen Curry, his style of play can extend his career to his late 30s. I think Klay Thompson taking 3 years off for these various injuries and stuff also at the same time bottom some years. I mean, that's wear and tear on tires that just did not happen while he recovered. Draymond Green's going to be an interesting one. I think this is going to be the year where we find out if his age is starting to catch up or if he's got some longevity there as well. But
can can they get by reduce kind of doing the thing where they reduce his role during the regular season? Similar to, you know, what they've done, you know, teams have done, you know, they did it with Iguodala. They did it with, you know, other guys, and let him do the defense stuff when it really matters the most in the playoffs. You can have a guy like Kuminga step up and play more minutes in the regular season. I mean, is that kind of the form? Because you talk about 15 years. I'm not worried about 15 years. I can't look that far ahead. But like 3 or 4, if the Warriors aren't going anywhere and Phoenix seems to be ascending, as long as Chris Paul can stay healthy and Devin Booker keeps getting better and Ayton can keep improving, and that suddenly is a well-run organization. And, you know, I'm completely intrigued by Minnesota. Denver's got a loaded roster if everybody's healthy. The Lakers have so much work to do. And so if in the next 3 years, if they can make this Warriors group work, like, there's zero reason to believe that they're healthy, that they're going anywhere.
I think, honestly, I think if the Lakers should not be looking at the Warriors as a team to catch right now. I think if you're the Lakers, you got to look at Minnesota.
New Orleans. They didn't catch New Orleans last year.
Yeah, you got to look at, I mean, there's Minnesota, New Orleans. Memphis, to me, is really the second best team after the Warriors. I know, and there's Denver. Utah, fortunately, I think is going to be gone. They're going to be out of the picture for a little while. So, I mean, it is easy to forget that the Lakers, it was just 2 years ago where if Davis and LeBron were healthy, they were going to knock the Suns out of the first round. I mean, that was just I don't know. It was less than 2 years ago when that happened.
Yeah, I still absolutely believe they would have won that series if AD didn't
agreed.
Agreed. I don't know if they won a title, but I think they win that series.
100% agree. And that's one of many reasons why when people talk about the Suns as like this, you know, they were picking them to win the championship last year, and people talk about them now that they could be good again. It's like, I mean, they were about to be knocked out of the first round. They didn't add anything of substance outside of JaVale McGee. So the Suns to me are so overrated, man. I'm not buying that stock at all. But look, the bottom line for the Lakers, I feel like, is this. If LeBron is still tapping that fountain of youth, Anthony Davis's health is everything. That dude is just Mr. Glass. Like, I don't know what the recipe is there to make that guy healthy for a season, but you have to have that. Then get Russell Westbrook. If you could trade him for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, sign me up yesterday for that deal. Is that what the trade is?
This was the question that one of your listeners asked, like when you mentioned we'd be doing this together.
Yeah.
Was like, what do you think if the Lakers could add Kyrie or Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, take it in either or both directions from an out?
Prefer that though.
You know how this is when you're with your own team. It's like, You're in it every day. It's nice to get that sort of outsider's perspective. Like, do you think that with that swap and the rest of this roster, the Lakers can push? In your case, it was asking about the Warriors specifically, but I broaden that out to the Western Conference. If those guys are healthy, all play, whether it's a big three of Kyrie, LeBron, and AD, or a little bit of a different version with Hield and Turner. And there are people in LA, Lakers fans, Lakers. Better certainly defensively would with at Miles Turner would make more sense. What's your
I lost
those guys play 65 games.
Repeat it. I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second. If they do,
sure.
What
do you think those guys are good enough, like that group is good enough to contend if they win, if the most important players are playing 65 games this year, if they actually help?
I think if, first of all, I would much prefer the Buddy Hield, Miles Turner trade to Kyrie. Kyrie is toxic. He does not play defense. And the Lakers did not have three superstars when they won a world championship 2 years ago. They had LeBron, they had Anthony Davis, and they had an outstanding supporting cast that played team defense effectively. My close friend Rick Barry does nothing but emphasize the fact that defense is not individual. It is a collective effort. And the Lakers understood that. And then they gave away Kuzma. They didn't re-sign Caruso. To answer your question, I really believe this. I really do, man, because for the record, I want to clarify one thing. I don't hate the Lakers. I'll get into that in one second. But if the Lakers make the trade and they get Buddy Hield and they get Miles Turner becomes your starting center. So Anthony Davis can be comfortable, weirdly, playing power forward. That was a cute thing 10 years ago. At this point, get over it, play center. I don't know what's going on in your head now. But if you have that lineup, LeBron's your three. Buddy Hield is your two. Kendrick Nunn is your point guard, maybe, if you do that trade. Whoever is handling the ball. I think Reeves. You're a playoff.
You don't need a real true point guard if you have LeBron.
No, you don't. I agree. I think the point guard position is overrated in general. It's all about just scoring, passing. So, I do think they're a playoff-bound team. And then it comes down to health in terms of beating a team like the Warriors, beating a team like the Grizzlies. I firmly do, man. Yeah, I mean, I like Darvin Ham as your coach, but I really think making a trade for Kyrie would be a huge mistake, just because Kyrie is a 30-year-old player who is, the guy believed the earth was flat for a year. I mean, give me a break. And then on top of that, like, he doesn't play defense. I mean, Durant and Kyrie were playing together and got swept against the Celtics. That's a huge reason why I don't like the idea of trading Durant for Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown owned him that series, and now you're going to give him up for Durant? I understand Durant's really good. I get all that, but I wouldn't do that. So I do think, the Lakers, if they make that trade and they get a shooter like Buddy Hield to space the floor, Miles Turner, like you said, spaces the floor, LeBron spaces the floor, you'd have some defense, you'd have a little depth. Kendrick Nunn, again, we didn't see him for a minute, former Warrior as well, although he only played for their G League squad, but he's a solid player. There's a reason why they offered him the mid-level last year. And then you have players like Austin Reeves, who for some reason, every time they played the Warriors, made every shot he put up.
He was a 50% really three-point shooter. My biggest thing with Kyrie that makes me worry isn't so much this year. It's like, what if he plays well? Then what do you do?
You're right.
Like, it's right. You don't want to be, you're the dog that caught the car at this point. Like, he's going to be on his best behavior and trying to make sure that, he lost a ton of money this year. And all that. And so like he could come in here, play really well and all that. Now you have a decision to make. is this somebody we want to give? Like, would he do the James Harden thing where he'd go 2 years? Okay, now maybe, you know, okay, now we're talking. But is Kyrie, if he doesn't, then you got, are you going to max out Kyrie getting into his 30s? Like, that sounds like a terrible idea. And if you don't, then what are you left with? You gave up a ton to get him. That's my, honestly, one of my biggest concerns, because I do think he would make them better. He would certainly make them more fun to watch. And a better offensive team, if nothing else. But the long term with Kyrie frightens me. Whereas, despite his injury history, at least Miles Turner is what, 26 or something like that, and he fits in a timeline that if he could get healthy and stay healthy, he's not an all star, but he's a good player. And so I feel like there's some timeline there. But I don't know. The Lakers are in a really bad spot. Like, Warriors fans, this should make Warriors fans happy.
I really think if they pull that trade for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, I'd be excited if I was a Lakers fan. You seem like a very intelligent human being. I'm guessing you got a lot of scorn for a lot of your comments about the Lakers, because most fans are just, you know, they don't understand that sometimes you got to say things that might not be sound like it, where you sound like a cheerleader,
Often, yes. But not now. I think most, certainly our listenership and our viewership on YouTube and Locked On Lakers YouTube channel, I would say right now is not feeling the front office, not feeling the direction of the franchise. So
let me ask you this.
There are times, actually, people think we're not harsh enough.
Oh, okay, fair. So then maybe this is a good question to ask you. I've been saying for a year now that if the Lakers really want to do the smart thing, they trade Anthony Davis while he has value. And you get some of those first round picks back. Maybe you get someone good back along the way. Is that something you would support, or do you think Anthony Davis is a lifer?
I think you have to do. We did a show on this. That idea. If you're going to, it needs to be an option. It needs to be something they think about. They have to be realistic in both two things. First, are they good enough now? If you throw in those extra two first, like they Lakers got nothing left once they trade these two picks and whatever. Does making a Kyrie deal, a Hield deal, something get you close enough that you can at least squint and see the opportunity to win something in the next couple of years? The other thing is, do you really believe that Anthony Davis is somebody you can build around for the next half decade? Because the answer is no, and I'm nervous about it just because of the health. And some things in terms of how he plays, like the motor, like he always puts up good numbers, but you don't always feel him in, like, that's always how we say, like, we just didn't feel him there. It was like 24-9-6, but like, it's good, but I didn't feel his impact in the game. If the answer is we're not super confident about it, then I think you do have to trade him, because his value is not going to get higher.
Exactly.
So I would absolutely consider it. And they're super, but then you got to blow it up and you got to figure out how to move LeBron for picks and basically try to undo the damage that was done. I don't want to say damage that was done by the AD trade, because that's not fair. They won a title.
You already said it. Too late, Brian. Too late.
Right. But it's also, they also won. It worked. They won a title.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, the word is out there. I understand what you mean. So,
but let me ask you this, because
that would be, I would say, you could look into it if you were going to really blow it up, because you need to recoup picks and then you trade, you keep Westbrook. And you don't give up anything to get rid of him. You try to trade LeBron and you try to trade AD and you say in 5 years, we'll be back.
I think that's the only option, man. I thought that a year ago, just because with every year you wait to trade AD, his value is going to dip. He still incredibly has value, but if he gives you one more year where he's missed class and he misses 70 games, dude, no one's going to want him anymore.
So that's wild. Let's do this again, because there's a bunch of stuff that we didn't get to. That I wanted to ask you about Warriors sort of fan culture and all of that. We just it's too much to pack into a show. And then, like, as the season gets closer, there's just, you know, basketball stuff to talk. But this was fun, man. It was really great to meet you. I enjoyed this.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely, man. This is a blast.
Locked On Warriors.
I'm always enamored. I have a soft spot in my heart for siblings who kind of work as a team. And like I said, if you want to make this a two-parter today or at some point, I'm down. I'd love to do this again with you, dude. Yeah, I just love talking basketball. This is weirdly therapeutic for me, as crazy as that sounds.
I'm glad we could help. Locked On Warriors is where you go to see all of this. Locked On Lakers is where you go to see all of this. Thanks for making Locked On Podcasts your first and second listen of every day. And I will see you. I'll see people. I don't know when Cyrus is going to see you, but I'll see you on Wednesday.